So I just want to talk about the way that taking care of this moment takes care of all moments. That's the essence of our practice, is that we are practicing present moment awareness. Why? For many reasons, but one is it's just a massive reality need. All we ever have in our life, all our life ever is this moment. And so, as huge a reality need as it is to be able to work, pay the bills, you know, to have friends, to have a partner, to just do all the things we do in our life, even more of a reality need than all of that is this ability to show up for your life, which is showing up for this moment. So the ultimate reality need is to know how to be in the moment. And so it seems very simple, this whole Dharma path, as complex as it is also very simple. We just need to be aware of this moment, which really just simply means actually living our life. Sounds very simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy because, as the Buddha said, our mind is like a monkey. We just have monkey mind. Thoughts swing from one branch and one vine to another vine to another vine. Thoughts just proliferate. And the Buddha said, you know, we have a monkey mind. And actually, neuroscience has proven that, as shown in a cartoon where a man is lying in bed with his head bandaged. And a doctor who must be a neurosurgeon is holding something up and saying to the patient, we found this in your brain. And it's a little organ grinder monkey. So neuroscience has proven a lot of what the Buddha taught. Even as Dharma teachers, we like to make it complicated. We give you a lot of teachings. My favorite example of that is a Dharma teacher recently gave a talk that was called The Dharma in a Nutshell, Part 2. And, you know, he had given part one in an hour talk the week before, and a week later had more to say. 2 hours to put the Dharma in a nutshell. So the teachings can seem very complex, but really it's so simple. And the Zen tradition, more than the Vipassana tradition, is better at kind of teaching it in a simple way. And there's a Zen saying, from birth to death, it's just like this, which is such a potent and powerful pointing to what's in between birth and death, our life. And it's just like this. Whatever you're thinking about how it's going to be, when you actually get there, when there becomes here, it will be just like this. And so our reality need is to know how to be with it just as it is, when it's just like this. It's always just like this. So that's our practice. And essentially what we do so that we can be aware of it just like this is to be. And we're in doing mode. We're doing all the time. Even when we're sitting still on a retreat, the mind is still doing, planning, thinking, recriminating, fantasizing. We forget how to be. And we love to be. We're just not often there. And the key element of being is presence or awareness. When we're being, we're just here, being aware of what's happening. And so this switch from doing to being is really one where we switch our allegiance, as I said before. The allegiance goes from doing to being. And another way of saying that, it goes from being involved with the content of our experience to being aware of the content of our experience. So we really switch our allegiance from the content to awareness of the content. So that's what we're doing. And that's how we move from doing to being. We switch our allegiance to awareness. And so today, if you can just really be curious about, well, what would it be like just to be aware of what's happening instead of trying to fuss with it? And one of my favorite Dharma poems, which you might know, but sometimes it's good to hear a poem again, it's called "Because These Failures Are My Job" by Alison Luderman. She writes, "This morning, I failed to notice the pearl gray moment just before sunrise when everything lightens. Failed also to find birdsong under the grinding of garbage trucks. And later, walking through the woods to stop thinking for even 5 consecutive steps. Then there was the failure to name the exact shades of blue overhead, not sapphire, not azure, not Delft. To savor the soft squelch of pine needles underfoot. Later, I found the fork raised halfway to my mouth while I was still chewing the last untasted bite. And so it went until finally, wading into sleep's thick undertow, I felt myself drift from dream to dream, forever failing to comprehend where I am falling from or to. This blurred life, with only moments caught in attention's loose sieve. Tiny pearls fished out of oblivion's sea, laid out here as apology or offering or thank you." I love it. I love the poem. You can fail. The more you fail to notice things, actually, the more mindful you're becoming, because you have to be mindful to realize you were lost. So these failures truly are your job, to keep remembering, to be aware. And when you do that, you'll realize, oh, I wasn't aware. But that's the moment where you can just say, yay, because you're already mindful to realize you failed, you were distracted, you're already succeeding, you're already mindful. So this is a really good moment. Just say yay every time you realize you've been distracted because you're already mindful. And I love that line, forever failing to comprehend where I am falling from or to. When we're mindless, it's like that. It's like we're just sort of skating across the surface of our life. Only when we're mindful do we have, when we have presence, do we actually like drop into our life, and we're dropping into our senses and the fullness of our experience. Otherwise, it sort of feels like we're skating. So our practice then is really about arriving again and again and again in the moment. It's simple, but it's not easy. and we have to do something. Our practice is a kind of doing, in that we're like, oh, right, I'm not going to just go off to all those other things today. What I'm doing is I'm going to keep coming back to this moment. So I call the doing of practice is really undoing. We go from doing through undoing, which is what our practice is, into being. And being is what we crave. That's when we finally arrive. We know how to travel. We know how to skate. But do we know how to arrive? So just arriving, we end up landing in this moment, in our body, in our senses. And Crowfoot, a Blackfoot warrior and orator, wrote this or said this. What is life? It is the flash of the firefly in the night. It is the breath of a buffalo in the wintertime. It's the little shadow that runs across the grass and loses itself in the sunset. This is being. This is presence. This is when we're just in the moment. That's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is just being here. We don't need to answer any big question. The being here is the meaning. So, and then we come back when we take care of this moment, when we know how to be, then we're taking care of all moments. So, you all are pretty experienced with nature practice. So that's kind of the next element of the talk here is, so how do we take our practice into nature? First of all, nature is just a huge help because nature is like a people whisperer. The more we're outside with our practice, the more our senses kind of remind us to let go. We want to let go because we're just so happy to be outside. And to look at a leaf, or look at a blade of grass, or look at the clouds. So nature's like a people whisperer, helping us come back. And it's such a relief. Nature draws us into our five physical senses. And when we're in our five physical senses, it's such a relief, really. Being in our five physical senses really help us be. So in nature practice, it's very much a practice of sensory awareness, sensory experience. So we're in our senses, and then the beauty calls us. It calls us to let go. And then just the quiet of nature. Nature has this quality of no comment. Even when nature's chattering away like birds, you know, burbling, or a stream burbling, there's nothing extra. Even the commenting has no comment around it. Animals are just how they are. They don't have big comments on things. And so we can orient to that with nature practice. We can tune in to the quiet around us. And the sounds themselves are quiet because they're not commenting on things. They're just being. And then nature has this quality of just sort of no big deal. Like, you know, that cliche, it is what it is. Everyone says it now, right? But that's pith dharma. It is what it is. And nature is teaching you that. It just is what it is. No big deal. So nature teaches us this and really encourage you to remember that nature is there for you. You can tune into the beauty. It'll lift your heart. Tune into the quiet, the no comment. That'll help your mind be quiet. I like to encourage people to, when they're listening outdoors in nature practice, hear not just sounds, but hear the silence it'll really help your mind get quieter. Okay, so the last element I just want to touch on before we practice is sensory clarity. So when we practice in nature, as I said, we drop out of our obsession, our allegiance to thinking. We drop into sensory awareness, into the five physical senses. The Buddha was very clear about saying that our experience, all of it, is sensory experience. He has a very, very simple teaching called the All. This is the Sabba Sutta in the Pali Canon. He said, I will teach you the All. Listen and pay close attention. So he's teaching you the All. This is the totality of your experience. Okay, the Buddha is about to just lay it down for you. So what is the All? What is the totality of your experience? The Buddha made it very simple. He said, what is the All? Simply the eye and forms, ear and sounds, nose and aromas, tongue and flavors, body and sensations, intellect and ideas. This, monks, nuns, everyone, this is called the All. Thank you, Buddha, for making it so simple. There's only six things happening: seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing. And then the sixth sense is the mind. And this translation is intellect and ideas, but it's everything mental: thoughts, images, memories, intentions, awareness. That's the sixth sense. Our allegiance is hugely to the sixth sense, sense number six. Today is a chance to have some allegiance to the other five. And I want to introduce sensory clarity. When we're clear about our sensory experience, the Buddha was saying, your experience is sensory. Everything you experience is through one of your senses. And sensory clarity is Shinzen Young's concept of being clear about what is happening in our senses. Are we hearing a sound? Are we seeing a sight? Are we smelling a smell? Or are we thinking a thought or creating an image in the mind? We need to be clear in our senses where things are happening. Which sense gate is your experience coming through? And so I want to just introduce this with a poem from Mary Oliver, The Summer Day. She said, who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she shifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Love this poem. Now, there's two really important transitions in the poem. The first is, she's in her sixth sense, her mind. Who made the world? who made the swan? Who made the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? Here comes the switch. This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, and the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Do you see the switch she made? She went from the sixth sense, who made the world, to vision, seeing this grasshopper moving her jaws back and forth, not up and down, who's gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she shifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Again, she's seeing. It's seeing, it's not thinking. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away, still seeing. Can you see that? And then she switches again. Now she's back in the sixth sense, and she says, the next line is, I don't know what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, etc. And so she's gone from wondering about the world to being in the world. And then that shifts her into deep meaning. I do know how to pay attention. You know, this is what I've been doing all day. What else should I have done? This is the meaning of life for her. And it comes from just being in her senses. And it's also coming from sensory clarity. To just see the grasshopper is so clear. I love that image. I can just see it, the pale forearms. She gazes around with her enormous and complicated eyes. You can see it all. She's writing so through the senses. And then she comes back to meaning. So the clarity, the key to sensory clarity, and the key to practice is recognizing when you're in the mental sense, sense number six, and when you're in one of the physical senses. And it's very easy to know, well, what's a sound? What's a sight? What's a smell? What's a taste? What's a touch? That's easy. We got that. That's clear. The sensory clarity piece that's really hard is just distinguish all of that from thinking of it and imaging it. And I want to show you how tightly interwoven the sixth sense is with the other five senses. So if you would, take a moment and feel one of your hands. Close your eyes and feel one of your hands. What sensations do you notice? Throb, tingle, flutter, pulse, buzz, warm, cool. Those are sensations. That's a physical experience. Notice, is there an image of your hand? That's the mind. That's a mental experience. Notice, is there a thought? My hand, my right hand, my left hand. That's mental. That's a thought. Notice that. Notice if there's an image or a thought, mental, and then come back to physical. Just tingle, buzz, pulse. Okay, so come on back out. That right there is just a little exercise in sensory clarity. We're noticing, oh, physical is sensation, buzz, pulse. The image of hand or thought of hand is mental. Very, very important distinction. It's like the key to practice this sensory clarity. why is this so key? Why is this the key to end our suffering? Because in the five physical senses, there's no time. Without time, there's no stress. In a physical sense, there's no doubt. The sixth sense is full of doubt, complexity, hypothetical situations. When you're just feeling your feet on the ground, there's no doubt. And in one of the five physical senses, there's no separateness. There's no me separate from everything else. What your senses give you actually is belonging, because the more you can be in just sensation, in just sight, in just sound, you're dissolving this illusion of separateness, this illusion created by the mind. In tingle, throb, pulse, when we feel that in the body, there's no me in tingle. And when we just are noticing outside of us in a sound, there's no there or separateness in just noticing a sound. There's just sound. So to drop out of the mind and into the body, and by body, I mean our five physical senses, to drop out of the mind into the body is to drop out of time, stress, separateness, and suffering, and into presence, well-being, and belonging.